Right, looks like everybody's got their handouts. You can prepare by opening your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Today I want to preach a message called All Things New from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, serving the Lord means that you're involved with new things. The Bible also does talk about old things, though. There are some old things we need to pay attention to. There are the old paths. There are the foundations. Psalm 11, verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? There's the Word of God. That's not new. There's God himself, who is from everlasting. There are the old landmarks the Bible talks about that are not to be removed. So with these old things, there's stability. You know, and it's good to look at the old things every once in a while because this old world changes so much. There's no stability in this world, but there's a freshness about new things. And I want you to know something. God has the old things to give us that stability that we need. You know, don't ever take away the foundation. Don't ever get rid of the solidness of the old paths and the old landmarks and all of that. But God, he also talks about new things. The new things, they deal with freshness. It's something that's kind of interesting. It draws your attention because if you just deal with the old things, it becomes routine after a while. You know, I think that happens in any church. I think it happens in any Christian life. I think you go through times when it all becomes old. You know, it all becomes. Well, I already know all that, so it's no big deal. And God wants to come again and make it new and fresh in your life. He wants to show you the newness. You know, the Bible says when we get to heaven, we're going to sing a new song. And we're going to have some new things in heaven. We have some new things in the Lord now. And I want you to know that serving God and giving your life to him involves some new things, not just the old. So let's look at this passage, and you look for the new things as we read. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay. Well, the last phrase of verse number 17 is the theme, but we're going to look at each verse here one by one from 16 to 21. But that last phrase said, behold, all things are become new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, show us today the things that have become new in our lives, in our destination, and in everything that we are now in Christ today. We pray that you would open these things up to us today as we look into the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the first thing I want you to see that's new here this afternoon is he has a new perspective, a new look on things, a new way to look at not only the world, but a new way to look at all things. You know, before you're saved, you have an old way of looking at things. Okay, you look at things according to dollars and cents. You know, you look at things according to the physical and the material and the fleshly and everything. And what I want you to understand is that when you're saved, God gives you a new perspective on things, a new way to look at things. In verse 16, we read these words, "Wherefore, henceforth," that means from now on, "know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more." You say, what's that talking about? He's saying that we've come to the time where we don't know any man after the flesh anymore. We don't look to anybody just from the standpoint of the world and the material and the things of this world anymore. We look at them through spiritual eyes. We look at them through eyes that see things that we didn't see before. Okay? He says, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, we don't know him that way anymore. He says that we need to understand that everything we look at is in a spiritual vein. Okay, we have a different vision, a different way of looking at things, of seeing things. I'll tell you something. If you will apply your new perspective, that can change the way you look at people problems. We all have to deal with people problems everywhere we go all the time, whether it's at work or home or even in the church. You're going to have people problems. And these are the hardest kind of problems to have to deal with, especially when someone is mad or someone's upset or someone's just out of place. Even your kids, they're going to challenge you at times with these kinds of attitudes. And you're going to have to deal with them firmly when they get like that. Sometimes kids, they want to carry around that bad attitude. And they start souring up on you when that happens. You need to correct them. You need to tell them, you better straighten up or I'm going to give you something to be unhappy about. People today, they don't believe that it's possible to have well-behaved kids. But you know what? You know why your kids get unhappy? It's because they don't have any discipline. I know that sounds strange, but that's the truth. Listen, when you don't have the rules set for you, when you don't have anything laid out for you, you're going to be unhappy. And children, they're naturally happy. Adults, they're not naturally happy. Even teenagers are not naturally happy. But I believe children are naturally happy. And if they're not happy, it's because there's no control. There's no regulation. They need that. But you got everybody throwing in the towel, giving up and saying, hey, you just can't get kids to do right today. Kids today, they're just so unruly. And Christians, they're buying that lie and they're going along with it. Don't you realize that God gives you a new perspective? He gives you a new way of looking at things. I see the people who are supposed to be Christians today, they're looking at things the same way the world does. Well, God does not want you to go around like the world does. He doesn't want you thinking like the world. He doesn't want you talking like the world. You don't have to see things the way the world sees things. You don't have to feel it like the world feels it. Okay? I just don't feel good today. And that's okay if it's a physical problem that you're having. That's normal. And I realize some of you may be going through some things that are causing you some grief. And I may be a little bit optimistic about this, but what I'm saying is that we all go through times when we get grumpy. And we like to complain. Or we feel sad or lonely or just plain unhappy. And we don't even know why. But you know what you have to do? Sometimes you have to go back and say, God has given me a new way to look at things. Here I am in this bad mood. Here I am feeling sorry for myself. And I know I don't have to look at it this way. I don't have to blame it on anything else. God has given me a new way. He says we don't look at people. We don't look at people after the flesh anymore. Now back to what I'm talking about, your people problem. Who is the person who is the person in your life who is causing you the most pain right now? Most of you have that person marked in your mind right now. Okay. Now let me ask you, do you see them as God sees them? Or do you just see them as man sees them? Do you see them with a new perspective? Do you look at them either as a lost soul needing a savior, or as a Christian who needs to get right with God? You say, well, does that mean that you just accept whatever they've done to me and let everything go? No, there's times you might even need to cut off relations with somebody. The Bible does account for that. It does allow that. It says, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Okay? Is it possible? Maybe it's not. Do you realize sometimes the only way you can live peaceably is without some people? You know, you might have to make some separations, biblical separations. The Bible does say, be ye angry and sin not. Okay, it's not a sin to be angry. Just make sure you don't sin while you're angry. Okay, but it also says, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. And so I believe the teaching there is, if you study all the scripture, is that there are times that you need to separate from some people, because that's the only way you're going to ever maintain the peace in that relationship. So you then just back away. But that's not saying that you still look at them with these angry eyes, right? Look at them with the eyes of the Lord. That's what he wants us to do, and see them in that way. Look at them as a lost person needing a savior, or a person out of the Lord's will who needs to get right. Or, hey, maybe it's you who needs to get right, some things right with them. But whatever it is, see it in a different way. Look at your life in a different way. When you look at your life, do you know what you're going to see? You'll see that you've been thinking like the world has been telling you to think. Or you can't do this because it's bad, and you need to do this because it's good. Who says? And so what you need to do is find out what God wants you to do. Don't let the world set the agenda for you. You know, the world, they will get some things right. Rarely. But God gives you that new perspective. See, we compare and we see things in the way the world sees things. Do you have a compassion for people? Do you have a heart for them? Do you say to yourself, that's somebody there that God loves and God cares for? If you're saved here today, you have a new perspective. All things new. God has made you a new person. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're a new creature. I never have figured out why people have such an objection to that word creature. They prefer to use the word creation. Okay? Well, of course it's a creation. And we're part of God's creation, but we are a creature. Okay? It means that you're alive. There's creatures mentioned in the Bible that are higher than us in ability. You know, so what's wrong with that term referring to us as well? And yes, it does refer to animals in some cases, but it refers to any living thing that God has created and given a spirit. It's one of his creatures. You know, when God recreated me, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm a new person. I'm not who I used to be. I was saved when I was 29 years old. And I know what kind of a creature I was before that. But some people are saved when they're children. You probably won't see any kind of an obvious great transformation in them. I mean, here's this quiet little kid that you hardly even know is around. And when they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, you're not going to really see any great difference. But I'm going to tell you, when that child receives Christ, God came into him and his Holy Spirit indwelt him, and that child is a new creature, despite the fact that you can't see it. Okay? And listen, some of you were saved as adults, like me. Okay? God changed you. You're not who you used to be. And if you are, if you're going back to those old things, old ways, you're going back to that junk that's wrong and rotten. And God says, get away from that mess. You're a new person. You're a new creature. He says, all things are become new. You know, I think it's interesting the way we look at history. It's either B.C. or A.D., right? Before Christ or Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, Latin. I grew up thinking it meant after death. But you have before Christ and the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. But you look at that, and I want to tell you something. Your whole life, when you talk about your life, it's in reference to before Christ and in the year of our Lord. And listen, it's God, he's been good. Amen. He makes you a new person. You are not who you used to be. You're somebody else. God has changed you. Now, you can go back to some of that old stuff, but I'm going to tell you what. You will never enjoy it like you used to. B.C. you can get messed up. You can fall away from God. You can sure dry up on him. But I don't think there's anybody who's been saved for any length of time who hasn't experienced that. But God says you're not the same anymore. Listen, isn't it great that you don't stop being a Christian just because you dry up on God every once in a while? I mean, you don't stop being God's child just because you don't act like it sometimes. God says you're changed now. It's not just a matter of whether you act like it or you don't act like it. Men, think about this. When your child does something wrong, have you ever looked at your wife and said, look what your son is doing? And your wife looks at you and said, he's your son too. You know, when he's good, he's my kid. When he's bad, he's yours. But God doesn't do that. God claims us, and we're his own, and we're a new person. We've got new perspective. We've become a new person, and we have a new purpose. That's the next thing. We have a new purpose. The Bible says all things are of God. We're not living for ourselves. Let's read that, verse 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay? All things are of God. Okay? It's of God. My job is not my job anymore. It's God's job. My income is not my income anymore. It's God's income. My days are not my days anymore. They're God's days. They belong to him. It's all of him. That makes me think of some of those challenging scriptures over there in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 27 says this, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's what Jesus said. Talks about that giving of all to the Lord. And then Luke 14, 33 says, so likewise, whomsoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You know, it sounds like you just need to kind of give up on yourself and give all for God. You got to say, you know what? What I want, that doesn't matter. Where I'm going, doesn't matter. Where I want to go, it's not up to me. I don't know what it is, but there just seems to be a continual temptation to say, what have I done with my life? They like to call that midlife crisis. You probably had similar experiences, though. You go through times in your life, and you say to yourself, what have I been doing? What has my life amounted to? You know, what has it counted for? I don't know, maybe that's valuable to some degree. Maybe it can help. But, you know, the thing is, my life is not my life. And so there's a certain type of selfishness in that kind of a question. What have I done? Well, what does it matter what you have done? Okay? You know, the thing is, have you given your life to God? Are you doing what He wants you to do? Are you letting Him work in your life? And so there's this thing where you're not your own anymore, and it's His purpose. What is your purpose for living? What fires you? What moves you? The Bible talks about the motions of sin, but I think it's that Christians are moved by selfish things sometimes. We're moved by what we want. We're moving towards, well, we're going to retire, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that. And then by the time you retire, you might not be able to do those things that you said you were going to do. Well, you know what you'd better do? You better give today to God. You don't know about tomorrow. James talks about those who brag about tomorrow. In James chapter 4, verse number 14. Let me read that to you. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." So he says, don't brag about what you're going to do tomorrow. You say, "If the Lord will," we need to get used to saying that. "If the Lord will, we will do this or that tomorrow." Okay? You know what? You don't have tomorrow. You don't know that you do. Okay? You have right now, though. And if you'll give that to God, if you'll say, "Lord, right now, my purpose is to serve you, to do what you would have me to do today." You give that to God, and you're going to find out He's going to give you that purpose that you desire. We have a new perspective. We don't see men the way we used to see them. We're a new person. All things are become new. You're a new creature. You have a new purpose. All things are of God. But notice here also a new power. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, "To wit," say, what is that? "To wit." That means, that is to say, he's clarifying something here, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. So there's a new power that we have, and this power is the experience of reconciliation, but it's also the word of reconciliation. It's the knowledge that I am right with God, not because of who I am. I mean, if you try to get right with God by doing everything right, you're going to be one frustrated person. You're going to be crying out and saying, "Oh, I need to do this to be right with God." Well, sure, you need to, you ought to, but I'm going to tell you what, you are right with God because you are in Jesus Christ. Not because you're doing everything right now. Not because you're a perfect person. You're not, by the way. and not because you're sinless. And you're not, by the way. But because God has placed you in His Son. That makes you right with Him. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, that we are accepted in the Beloved. Okay, as you're in Him, Jesus, the Beloved, as you're in Jesus Christ, God looks down on you and He sees not you, but He sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're in Him. And you know what? I'm reconciled with God. God's not mad at me anymore. The Bible says before you're saved, you're already condemned. It says the wrath of God is on you already. You haven't experienced all of God's wrath, but it's already applied to you. See, that wrath already belongs to you. But when you get saved, that wrath is removed. God has again become as before with Adam before the fall. He's man's friend. He's my friend. And in Jesus Christ, I'm right with God, and there's power in that relationship. There's a power of that closeness. And I'll tell you what, if we could ever get to the point where we would major on knowing God, if we would major on our relationship with God, I think you'd find some wonderful things happening with your family and with your church and everything else around you. You know what the devil does? Oh, you're going to do things for God, are you? Are you going to give your heart to God? Are you going to make some kind of resolution and write down all the things you're going to do for God? You know, I'm going to read my Bible 3 times this year. I'm going to memorize 100 verses. I'm going to witness to people every day. And then you get out there and you start trying to do all that. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And you know what? You are going to find out that you don't have the strength in you. You don't have the moral strength to do all those things. But there's one commitment that I'm going to give you that's more important than anything else. And that is just for you to decide, I am going to draw closer to God. You say, well, you're just talking about that spiritual life, that deeper life. Well, let me tell you something. If you really draw closer to God, you will do a lot more. Okay, see, if you draw close to God and he doesn't spur you into action, you're not really drawing close to God. Okay, you might as well be some oriental new age meditation person. You know, you might as well be involved in something else. If you are drawing close to God, your heart is going to be where God's heart is. God's heart is on reaching the lost. God's heart is on doing the work of God. God's heart is on those active things, those spiritual things. But you know what we do? We start with the activity, and then we burn out. We dry up inside. Do you ever just decide you're going to pray and you're going to work for God, and after a little while you're just dried up inside? You don't really tell people that, though. You may not recognize it all the time, but after a while of doing it, it's like, man, there's no joy in this. There's no purpose. There's nothing inside drawing me to this. Why? Because you've lost the power of God. The power of God is that right relationship with him. We're reconciled to him. We're drawing nigh unto him, and that word, that word brings you that power. It's the word of reconciliation. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That power of Christ in you, that hope of glory, that power of God working in you. It won't work without God. Draw nigh to him. If you could do something different in your life, what would it be? I'd want to love God more and draw closer to him. What kind of plans do you have? You say, well, I'm going to get these bills paid off. Okay, that's a good plan. You should do that. But that's not going to bring you closer to God. You say, well, I'm going to lose 25 kilos. Okay, if you need to, that's good. You should take care of your body, aim to please God in all these areas. But do you know what's more important to me than that? I want to draw nigh to God. He says, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:8. That drawing nigh unto God, there's your power. Okay, God has given you a new power. You know what the old power is? That's just your own strength. That's what you can do. Okay, it's worn out. It'll never get the job done. Only he can work through you and get the job done. God in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. a new perspective, a new person, a new purpose, a new power, and finally a new position. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 and 21 says this. Now then, okay, well, if he says now then, it must be something new. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, I've already dealt with this to some degree when I was talking about that new person. We're not who we used to be. When I dealt with the new power of reconciliation, that closeness to God. But here I want to say it one more time. Here we have a new position. Okay, our position is that Christ died on the cross in our stead, okay, instead of us. Okay, and we take the gospel to others in his stead. Do you see that? It's an exchange there. What this is saying is that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place, and in his place, I'm an ambassador, and I'm supposed to take the gospel to others in his place. That's my position. My position is that I have his righteousness, but I also take the news of his reconciliation to the world. It's a wonderful position. I'm an ambassador for Christ. You know, I heard an account of a guy who was a missionary to Turkey. And Turkey did not have an open door for missionaries. I don't know if they do now. I haven't checked. But anyway, back then when you went over there, you had to write down what you were on the immigration card, you know. And, you know, what's your occupation? And so this minister, he's going, well, what am I going to write down? What am I going to write down? And he decided to take a chance. I'll just write minister. He's going to be honest. He's going to write down minister. So he wrote minister on the entry card. He got there and he landed at the airport. Man, there was people there to greet him. And he said they welcomed him. They shook his hand. They said, we're so glad to have you. And they said, we're taking your things out to the car. And he walked out to the car, and it was a limo. They weren't taking him to prison. What happened is they read that card, and they saw that it said minister, and they took that to mean that he was in some sort of an important government position. You know, the ministries of government like they have here in Kuwait. You know, and so they took him to a nice hotel. They set him up there and everything. And they said, we're here just to serve you and do anything you need. Just let us know. He was a minister from America. And you know what? We're not going to get that kind of a response from the world much, if at all. But you know what it's like to be an ambassador for your country in most parts of the world now? They may hate you. But they're going to be careful with you. There's a kind of a royal treatment for ambassadors. And I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Now, this world is not going to treat me royally. It won't be until I get home that I get any kind of royal treatment. But you know what? Somebody's listening. People are listening to you. People are watching you. They may not be there to serve you, but they are watching you, and their senses are keen to you. They say, that person there, they say they're a believer, and they may reject you, but they're watching you. There may be people who fight you, but inwardly they're wishing that what you've got is the real thing, because they wish there was a real thing, because they know what they have is not the real thing. And they're watching you. And you are an ambassador. You are representing Jesus Christ. I mean, everywhere you go, on the job, in your neighborhood, at home with your family, you are a representative of Jesus Christ. That's your position. Ambassador, minister of the Department garment of the superior. Now, but you're an ambassador for Christ. You represent him for this world. It ought to make you want to live a certain way and talk a certain way and make sure that you give out that truth of God and you present it in the best way possible to others. You know, we've gone kind of a long spell now without seeing many people get saved. Admit it. Look, just look. What have you been doing? What have we been doing? What I'd like to see is for us to get serious about reaching out to the lost. Get our hearts set on reaching some people, seeing some people get saved. I want us to have a new seriousness about our new position in Christ and our calling to take the message of reconciliation to the world. He says, you have that word of reconciliation, but you have that ministry of reconciliation that's mentioned in verse 18. That's part of what we're called to do. Jesus Christ said, I took your place. I took your place. I suffered your pain. I suffered your judgment on that cross. He says, I want you now to take my place. I was there and I ministered to people when I was there. Now I'm not there. Now I want you to take my place and give the gospel to others. You say, well, where do I start? Man, you get a prayer list. Start finding you some lost people to pray for. Start looking for them. Start praying for them. Say, Lord, give me someone close to me that I can be a witness to on the job or in my neighborhood, or bring them to my attention when I'm out there at the grocery store, the mall. I mean, if you're like me, you go to the same places over and over again. You've got some kind of a routine. And so there are people who are familiar with you. Just think about it. Who sees you every day and you don't really know them? Why don't you know them? You know, even if they don't know you, at least they've seen you. And so you need to take advantage of that situation, because those people who have seen you time and time again, they're the ones who are most likely to trust you rather than someone who never saw you before. I mean, think about that. You know, in the world today, it's hard to know who you can trust. Some stranger comes knocking on my door and I'm going to be suspicious about what they're doing there. What do they want with me? You know, I'm going to be watching their every word and their every move. You know, if somebody approaches me on the street, man, my guard goes up. I'm going to think they want to rob me or con me or start talking. Even if they start talking religion, I'm going to be expecting to hear some kind of heresy. You know, so think about what people think when you approach them that you don't know. They don't know you. Okay? Most people, they're going to be afraid that some cult is trying to suck them in. Can't really blame them. There's so much ugliness in the world today, so many people trying to take advantage of other people. I can really understand why someone wouldn't want to hear or wouldn't want to open their door today. You know, look through the peephole, see it's somebody dressed like me. They're not opening that door. Because we live in a wicked world. You know what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be honest. You go to the same places when you go shopping. Be friendly. Develop a friendship. When other people are complaining, don't join the complaining. You smile. You make someone else happy. Okay, go the other direction. Let them see the difference. You know, not to make men praise you, but to let them see what the Lord has done for you and in you. Okay? Make sure the Lord gets the credit. Listen, you have people that come around you. And, well, I admit I'm one of the world's worst. It's easy to let opportunities go by and to think of myself and think about my inconveniences, you know. I'm not an aggressive bold person in that respect. But God wants us to be a witness. We're ambassadors for Christ, and we need to take that seriously. We need to say, Lord, give me somebody. That person that you do business with, that person that's next door to you, that person that you work alongside of, that person in your family. There's somebody God wants you to be a witness to because you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. It's a new position. A new position. You weren't an ambassador for Christ before you got saved. He got you saved, and he's taken you to heaven. And he says, now I want you to be my ambassador. That's a pretty high position when you think about it. That's a pretty honorable position. God wants us to do this. It's appointed to us. You know, you think about it. What's the job of an ambassador? Well, he's appointed by the king to go and live in a foreign land to deal with the people in that foreign land and present the interests of the king who sent you. Right? You know what? We're sent by a king, Jesus Christ. We're sent into a foreign land, this old world, because this isn't our home. Where's our home? Our home is in heaven. All right? We're here to deal with the people in this foreign land concerning the interests of our king. We're ambassadors right here for Jesus Christ. So, has being a Christian gotten old with you? Has coming to church gotten old with you? Say, well, that's your fault, preacher. You don't do it right. Well, it probably is. But you know what? Maybe it's your fault because you're not praying for me enough. I'm serious. That makes a difference. It really does. You say, well, I'm not getting anything out of the messages nowadays. And I'm not saying that my messages are that great, but I'm going to tell you what. There are times when I could use a little more of the power of God. I think I could use some more of your prayers. I know I need to pray more. But there are days I get up here, and I'll be honest with you, I wonder if you're praying for me at all. Just wondering. Not picking on you. You know, if you're sitting here and you're saying I'm not getting much out of the service, you don't have a right to say that if you're not earnestly praying for the preacher, that God will give him a message, that God will stir him up, that God will give him the power to preach the word. You say, wow, I never thought of it that way. You ought to. I hope you'll start doing it. You know, you all know that I can use all the help I can get. And if I'm all you got and you want to get something out of the service, you need to support me in your prayers. You know what? The thing is, you may be bored with church. You may not be getting anything out of what I'm doing. I'm going to say that that's okay because I can't do anything. But God can use it. See, God can work. And we need to have a new way of looking at things. We need to get this new power of God. We need to become a new person for him, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we need to go after that with a new purpose in our heart and say, Lord, I am going to serve you and I'm going to represent you and I'm going to live for you. And Lord, I'm going to be looking to you to do something in Bible Believers Baptist Church in Kuwait. But I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. Maybe you're saying, well, I just don't think we're where we ought to be right now. Well, no, we're not. I just said that. You're not where you ought to be. I'm not where I ought to be. And you know what? We ought to be praying for each other and for ourselves and to God and to be seeking him and to be looking for something from him. Instead of going around saying, oh, it's not what it used to be. And I'm not saying that I've been hearing people say that. But, hey, do you know what we ought to do? get serious about reaching God, about doing the things of God. It's not everybody else's coldness that messes us up. It's our own coldness that messes us up. It's when we're cold on God. You know what the things of God ought to be to you? They ought to be new. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." You know, we sing that song, "Great is thy faithfulness." The first part of that verse talks about the mercies and the compassion of God and says they are new every morning. Are the things of God still new and fresh to you? Are they still rich and real to you? If not, if they've become old, it's because you've drawn away from God. You've gotten away from the things of God. You've pulled away from him. And it is so important that we draw back to him and we say, "Lord, I need you right now." Let me ask you this. Have you given yourself back to the Lord recently? You say, "Well, I did that once." I tell you what, I think we keep taking ourselves back from God after we give it to him. We go to God, we say, "Lord, I want you to have everything." 3 months later, you've pulled about 90% of that back. And you have to go back to the Lord and say, "Lord, I want you to have everything again. I want you to take my life. I want it to be all yours." Have you done it recently? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for showing us these new things that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, if we've neglected these things, please forgive us and help us to get back on track. Help us, Lord, to draw nigh to you and to trust you for the power that is needed to win lost souls, to help people in their trials and their troubles, whether they be saved or lost. Help us, Lord, to remember that the power is not in us and we'll never get anywhere without your power. Help us to be faithful ambassadors for Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Brother Allen.
Thank you, Pastor, for an inspiring message. May I request all to stand for our another hymn before the announcement. You can see in the screen, "I Know Who Holds Tomorrow." But I know who holds tomorrow. every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver light. There the sun is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the end, every Monday at 7 p.m. we have a Bible study and prayer meeting via Zoom. And those who have not yet who cannot join because they have the senior number to Sister Risa for joining so that you can join our prayer meeting via Zoom. And every Friday we have our Friday service at 1 p.m. and we have our children's Bible school. Our teacher is Sister May and Sister Amy. They are teaching our children. And every first Friday of the month, we have a Lord's Supper, just we did last week, first Friday. And after our worship service, we have a fellowship lunch. And after this, we have one-on-one soul winning, meaning if you have visitor, we can soul win on witness, or outside also, we can soul win. And we have also choir practice after the service. By the way, we have gospel tracks. If you want, just get here. You can get and you can give to your co-workers and to your friends these gospel tracts to reach people to Christ. And also we have a new gospel devotional in the table. You can get it if you don't have. And every last Friday of the month, we have men's training, Bible study, with pastor teaching us about the Bible. And if you want request for visitations, Bible studies, and baptism, you can approach Brother Joel or Pastor for Bible studies. And about baptism, those who accepted Jesus Christ and who want to be baptized, just ask or just approach Pastor so that he give you a schedule for baptism, those who accept and wants baptism. And we have also our church website and Facebook page in the screen. There you can see our Bible Believers Baptist Church Facebook page. I think that's all. And may I request all to stand for our closing hymn, Come to the Savior, page 254. Page 254, Come to the Savior.
God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful that we have your word. We thank you, Lord, that you put the power in that word and that we have heard it today. And I pray you'd help us to take it to heart, put it into action, pray for one another, especially, Lord, now as I prepare to travel, Lord, there's some men that will be standing in this pulpit to preach. I pray that our church will be prayerful for these men and that there will be power in their preaching. And Lord, we pray that for Brother James and for his safety. We pray for anybody who will be traveling soon and that you'll keep them in your safety. And we thank you, Lord, for the food we're going to enjoy now and ask you to bless it to strengthen our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.